This morning we'll be doing our last reading in chapter 5, verse 1 to 11. Let's begin once again at verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand. And we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since, therefore, we have now been justified by His blood, much more shall we be saved by Him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more, now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by His life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. One day our teenagers are going to go to university, and some of them will have to take an introductory class in philosophy. And many times the story has been told where people will be asked how many people in the classroom are Christians. And so the Christians will put up their hands, and then the philosophy professor will try and diddle them with a philosophical problem, and he'll put an argument to them. And the argument goes something like this. If God is almighty, can He make a rock that He cannot pick up? That's the argument that people try to put out there. If God is all powerful, can He make a rock that He cannot pick up? And so if you say, of course He can make a rock He cannot pick up, well then He's making a rock He cannot pick up, and He's not almighty. And if you say He cannot make the rock that He cannot pick up, well then He cannot make it, therefore He's not almighty. And so the professor will think that he has got you cornered and you cannot argue with him. You therefore have to give up your belief in God because he has proved it to be irrational. It was just the other day that a teenager came to me with this particular problem, and she asked, you know, my friend on Facebook, he's an atheist and he keeps posting these problems. What should I say? Well, leading up to where we're going in Romans, let me give you some of the answer of what I gave to her. Firstly, we have to say in response to this question, I reject the question because it has false assumptions built into it. Two false assumptions. Firstly, the first false premise is that the question is assuming that God is physical and bound by physical law, not the creator of physical law and spirit. God's not bound by gravity, okay? He doesn't have to worry about rocks that he can't pick up. It's a question that has ignorance in it and is therefore disqualified. Doesn't apply to God because he is spirit. But some people want to pursue this line of questioning because there are those who try to show that if God can't do something, he's not perfect and therefore he cannot exist. And so they want to try and emphasize something God cannot do. But this is the second false premise. They're working on a false understanding of perfection. They're working on an abstract concept of perfection, which basically means endless possibilities. If God can't do something, he can't be perfect. That's an abstract concept of perfection. Endless possibility is not the right definition of perfection. God has limitations, but his limitations are the limitations of his being. He cannot lie. God cannot sin. And these are not limitations. This is his perfection. He defines perfection. Let me show you how this other concept is absolutely useless. Let's talk a moment about the perfect killing machine. Imagine with me for a moment a machine that could perfectly kill in any situation, any amount of people. Endless possibilities. It's the perfect killing machine. But is it a good or a bad thing? It's a terrible thing to have a perfect killing machine. And so what we're doing by highlighting this example is we're showing that a definition of perfection that lacks morality, that lacks personhood, which is everything that God is. He is perfect. He is a person. Is a false abstract notion of perfection. And so it's the second false premise that's brought to the question.